Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. To borrow the words of Meredith Willson, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Thanksgiving now is done and the leftovers have been consumed or either thrown away. The Black Friday sales are over. Cyber Monday is done. Cyber Week is finished. And this week we had our first real taste of wintry weather with the freezing rain, the ice, the snow, and the now frigid temperatures. And as you go about your life, you see that it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, isn't it? The trees are going up, they're being decorated, lights are being strung, cookies are being cooked, the stores are being crowded with those people doing their last-minute shopping, kids are writing their wish lists and writing letters to Santa. How are your Christmas preparations going? Is your house decorated? Is it ready for all of the guests? Is your shopping done and completed? Christmas can be such a busy time of year with all of the preparations and things that we have to do to get ready. Sometimes it can almost seem like a relief when the holiday is over and the busyness and all of it is done. The busyness of Christmas is certainly something we can all relate to, isn't it? But God can as well. He knows too what it's like to prepare for Christmas and for Christ's coming. In our Old Testament text, we see some of those preparations. In Isaiah's day, some 700 years before the coming of Christ, God was already setting the stage for his son's arrival. He was already orchestrating the events to get his people out of Babylon and back to Israel. He tells them that their warfare will be over, their sins forgiven, and that they will be comforted. Later on, God worked through someone like Alexander the Great, who brought the Greek language and culture to the Middle East. He worked through the Romans, who did things like crucifixion and put into power people like the Herods and Pontius Pilate. He worked through Caesar Augustus' census that got Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem for the Savior to be born. God was preparing for his son's arrival through things like this and much more. But this wasn't all that he did, though, to get ready. And Mark makes that clear. As he begins the story of Jesus Christ, he writes, "As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." God sent John the Baptist to prepare his way and to prepare the people. John was that promised messenger of old, that new Elijah who would come before the promised Savior. He even dressed like the former prophet as well, with the leather belt and camel hair vest. John was to prepare the way for Jesus. He was to remove the obstacles and things that would hinder his coming. So how did he do that? As Lutherans, we should love what he did. He did it by baptizing and preaching. Mark writes, "John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins." People came from everywhere to hear John and to be baptized by him. Those who came from Jerusalem walked 20 miles downhill one way to a desert and then walked 20 miles back uphill to return home. Talk about a commitment. The people would come to John, they would confess their sins, they would be baptized, which showed that they were forgiven. John wanted the people to be ready for the coming King and their coming Savior. He wanted them to remove and confess the obstacles and crookedness of their sin. For repentance recognizes one's crooked ways and turns to a new straight direction. He wanted them to see their need for grace and point them to the one who gives it. His baptism helped with that. But John didn't just baptize, he preached as well. And Mark gives us a glimpse of that content. John says, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." John pointed ahead to the greater one, the Savior Jesus, and he says that Christ is so great, he's not even worthy to do the smallest and smelliest of tasks, to remove the straps of his sandals. That's like Aaron Rodgers saying he's not worthy to carry the cleats of an upcoming player. If you heard that, it would shock you. It gets your attention. It focuses you on the one who is coming. John the Baptist pointed to Christ. He pointed them to the one who is bigger, better, greater, and more grand. God prepared his people for the coming of Jesus through the Baptist. But how do we prepare for Christmas? Sure, we might decorate our trees, we might go shopping and prepare for parties. How do we prepare for our Lord's coming? How do we prepare for the one who came, who comes today through his word, and the one who will come again at the last day? Do we prepare at all? Is it on our minds, or can the busyness of the season distract us and take us away from the real meaning? Our text is a great aid in preparing us for the coming of Christ. There's a story of a greenhouse owner who once hired a young man whom he judged to be a very competent guy and a very hard worker. And although the owner's judgment proved to be correct, he found out that the plants in his greenhouse were starting to die. They were starting to wilt and to become all droopy. And it got to the point that the owner had to do something about it. And so he hired a more experienced gardener to take his place. Soon the plants began to turn around. They were springing back to life and they were flourishing and they were growing and they were better than ever. And this puzzled the owner because the first guy he hired was rather competent. And so he asked the experienced gardener, "What made the difference? Why are they flourishing for you and dying for the other guy?" And the gardener explained, "When the young man moved the plants, he did it with great care and caution, but I was rough with them. I disturbed their roots. Plants flourish when you disturb their roots." We also need a rough shakeup. It's good for us. We prepare for our Lord's coming by repenting of our sin, by being shaken at our roots. When we repent, we see our sin. We see how we fall short in our Christian lives and how we miss the mark. In fact, that's what the word sin means, to miss the mark. We see quite clearly how we're by no means perfect and how we need a Savior. In teaching the people of Germany of how to repent and see sin in their lives, Martin Luther asks these very pointed and helpful questions. Please reflect as you hear them spoken. Luther says, "Consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. Are you a father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, or worker? Have you been disobedient, unfaithful, or lazy? Have you been hot-tempered, rude, or quarrelsome? Have you hurt someone by your words or deeds? Have you stolen, been negligent, wasted anything, or done any harm?" These questions that Luther asks really take no prisoners, and they leave no one out. When we repent, we see our need for grace. For repentance doesn't focus just on confessing our sin, but it also involves going to the one who gives us grace. And that's God, for we go to the one who took our place, who took the fault, blame, and punishment of our sin. We go to the one who makes right things right with God and who forgives us of those things we have done. Repentance helps to prepare our hearts and lives for His coming. He gives us His grace. But our preparations don't just stop with that. We also prepare by remembering our baptism. To remember our baptism, we recall the words spoken over us at that event. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. At our baptism, God's name was placed on us, making us His redeemed and saved children, making us members and heirs of His family. On that day, we received many special gifts: the Holy Spirit, forgiveness, a rescue from death and sin, and eternal salvation. On that day, we were united to the one who saves and forgives us. When we remember our baptism, we remember how we have been given those great gifts and promises. And we look at that day, we can say, it was there, at that time, at that place, God gave me these wonderful promises and blessings. Baptism is the reminder of what God has given us and what He does give us. We also prepare by looking to the one that John pointed to. Radio commentator Paul Harvey tells of an experiment that involved a chimpanzee that scientists were determined to teach written communication. It took them 14 years to teach this chimp how to communicate. And when the chimp was finally ready to say something, word went out about it, and there were many scientists gathered in the room to see and to hear what this chimp would say. What would this chimp write? And so the chimp was bending over, writing something, and pushed forward the slip of paper, and it said these words: "Let me out! Let me out!" As ironic as the chimp's cry was, when we finally admit our bondage to sin, it really strikes the heart of the human cry: "Let me out." Some of us can be in the cage of addictive behavior, like high anxiety, unpredictable anger, biting sarcasm. Some can know the darkness that drugs, alcohol, and internet pornography can give. Others can be chained to a grudge that won't leave until there is revenge. We might be wrestling with that skeleton in our closet that is rattling louder and louder and louder. Whatever the sin or whatever the issue is, it's left us in a cage of despair, darkness, and death. Our heart cry has become, "Let me out!" That's why we look to the one who is mightier than John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, who hears our cry and lets us out from these things. Jesus is the mighty one who is stronger than the devil, his minions, his demons, and his schemes. He has defeated them and will at the last day. Our Lord is mightier than death, and He has swallowed it up and has broken its sting. He is mightier than guilt, addiction, regret, shame, temptations, and the skeletons in our closet. He is stronger than sin and the clutches it may have on us, and has paid for it all at the cross with His life and with His blood. We are pointed to the mighty one who lets us out by His life and death, to the mighty one who saves us. God's blessings as you continue your Christmas preparations. In His name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the mighty one who is coming. Amen.